I've run into several people recently and had conversations with them who had left the Catholic Church. And it was a long time ago that they had all left the church. And these were all independent conversations, but they all had one thing in common. When we really got down and I figured out why they left the church, you know, they said it was because they don't accept human authority, a.k.a. the authority of the church. And so this, in today's gospel, is one of my go-to verses in situations like that, Matthew 16:18, where Christ says to Simon, gives him a new name, Peter, which means rock. And he says, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. So I talk about how Jesus Christ intended to found a church. He did it deliberately. He intended to found one church. It's in the singular, my church. And it's his church. That the Catholic Church is not a human institution, but it is the family of Jesus Christ. So as I'm going through this and giving this amazing biblical explanation about the foundation of the church, I suddenly realized they didn't care. As I'm talking to them and giving them this explanation, they just didn't care. And at first, I just kind of ignored that. But as I was thinking about it, I started to realize what the problem was. The problem was, it wasn't that they didn't think through and couldn't find evidence for the church. If they wanted evidence for the Catholic Church and the authority given to it, they could find plenty of it. The problem was something else. The problem was, they didn't want to accept any human authority except their own. The issue was they wanted to be making the decisions. They didn't want anyone else telling them what to do morally. They wanted to pick and choose for themselves which moral teachings they wanted to follow. And they didn't want anyone telling them how often they had to worship God, that they had to come to Mass every Sunday. They didn't want any of these moral demands on their behavior. They just wanted to do whatever they wanted to do. The problem wasn't intellectual. The problem was pride. You know, imagine approaching any other subject matter with that attitude. Imagine being in a math class and the teacher's, you know, teaching about addition and subtraction. And someone just gets up in the middle of the class and they're like, I've had it up to here with your rules. I'm not going to listen to your rules about addition and subtraction. I'm going to add and subtract however I want to add and subtract. And I don't want you to tell me otherwise. That'd be absolutely ridiculous. But yet that's the same attitude that these people have embraced when it comes to the truths of the faith and to living out a moral life. The problem is, you know, that's not what we're called to be as disciples. Disciple requires discipline. It requires obedience, learning from the master and being obedient to Jesus Christ. And the reason why we can't do this on our own, and why this is a problem of people wanting to make their own decisions and do everything on their own, is because we have to recognize that as human beings, we have a fallen nature. You know, that happened at the beginning of Genesis. We have fallen intellects, so we don't always know clearly what's good for us and what's not good. And sometimes we're deceived and we get things wrong, and things that we think will bring us happiness and fulfillment actually bring us to disaster. And our wills are fallen. Sometimes we know the right thing to do, and yet our will is weak, and so we sin and we do what we know is wrong, even though we know what the right thing is to do. Sometimes we're just spiritually lazy, and we know that we should be worshiping God every week, but we just don't want to get out of bed, or we just would rather watch TV. You know, as human beings, we have a fallen intellect, we have a fallen will, we rationalize sin. It is dangerous to entrust our salvation to ourselves and to think that we will be able to figure everything out on our own. You know, the church is structured so that everybody is under the authority of somebody else. Children are under the authority of their parents. Parents are under the authority of their pastors. Pastors are under the authority of the bishop. The bishop's under the authority of the pope. The pope is under the authority of Jesus Christ. Nobody just does whatever they want to do. You know, part of the Christian life is obedience and acknowledging that we need the church. We need the 2,000 years of wisdom that she gives us. We need the sacraments. We need the moral guidance. We need those teachings of Christ. And pride is an obstacle to our salvation. And I think this is a common tactic of the forces of darkness, that they want to turn us away from the church. They want to drive a wedge between us and the church, and they often do that through pride, thinking that we don't need the church. We don't need someone else telling us what to do. We can do it all on our own. And that's a temptation that the forces of darkness use to separate us from the church, divide and conquer. Because the forces of darkness know that if we are separated from the church and we're on our own, we don't stand a chance of salvation. They know that. So they want to separate us and divide us so that they can pick us off one by one. And the reality is we need the church for our salvation. And we need the humility and the obedience to follow what Christ has given us in the church. So as we look at the readings today, in the first reading, there's this guy named Shebna. He was the prime minister of the kingdom of Israel under King Hezekiah. And in the kingdom of David and a lot of ancient kingdoms, they would have the office of prime minister. It was the king's right-hand man. And when the king was gone, the prime minister would rule in his stead, among other responsibilities. In the first reading, Isaiah is saying that the office of prime minister would be taken away from Shebna, and it would be given to Eliakim. And the symbol for that office was the key. He said the key will be taken away from Shebna and given to Eliakim. Jesus Christ inherits the kingdom of David. He is a son of David. He inherits the kingdom of Israel. He is the King of Kings. And in the gospel reading, when he gives the keys to Peter, what's he doing? He's appointing him as the prime minister of his kingdom. He's appointing Peter as the first pope, the vicar of Christ. And when Jesus Christ ascends into heaven, Peter and his successors, Linus, Cletus, Clement, they'll be the ones all the way down to Pope Francis to hold the keys to the kingdom. And so Christ gives the church a clear hierarchy. He appoints a pope. He appoints the apostles as the first bishops. He gives it an organizational structure. The other thing we can pull from the first reading is when he gives Eliakim the key, he says that Eliakim will be a father to the people of Israel. The Pope is our Holy Father. What does that mean? He exercises authority not to lord it over us or for his own purpose, but he is the father of God's family here on earth. It's his job to unite, to guard, and to provide for God's family, to provide for them by with clear teaching and moral guidance, to make sure that they have access to the sacraments, and to unify the church throughout the world. You know, every organization or institution needs unity. A school has a principal, a company has a president or a CEO. Within the church, the Pope helps to unite under one visible head the entire church throughout the world. And so that's an extremely important part of what Jesus Christ gave us when he was giving us the church. The reality is, in the world today, the church is getting slammed and attacked left and right, from within and from without. And there's waves crashing against the church. And one of the main issues that this is surrounding is marriage, the institution of marriage. In particular, the indissolubility of marriage, that it is a sacrament until death do us part. And what constitutes adultery? That's where this fight is happening. And as 100 years ago, Our Lady of Fatima appeared to the children. One of the things that Sister Lucia said was that the final battle between Jesus Christ and Satan would be over the sanctity of marriage in the family. And that's the battle that we're in right now. And there are forces trying to undermine and to confuse people about what the church's teaching is. And so I think as we reflect on these readings, first and foremost, we should profess our loyalty to the church that Jesus Christ has founded and realize that we need the Catholic Church. It is a gift and we should always be loyal to it. And second, to pray for our Holy Father that he might guide the church through this difficult time, you know, reaching out to people who are in difficult marriage situations, but also upholding the true teaching of the church and guiding us through this period of confusion and this period of attacks, so that the church may continue to lead people on the course to salvation.